Well, good morning. Good to see everyone today, and hopefully you're in your Bible in Proverbs 22 and verse 1. We'll be looking at that again in just a moment. My message today is titled, A Good Name or Filthy Rich? A Good Name or Filthy Rich? So if I could grant you right now a good name or more money than you could ever spend in your lifetime, which would you choose? The greater name or the more money? Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. And so a good name is what you're known for. A good name is your reputation. So what kind of reputation do you have? What kind of reputation do you have in the community? What kind of reputation do you have at your place of employment? What kind of name do you have? And by the way, you're not born with a good name, but you are to live in such a way that you make that name good. Now, your last name may be good, right? Maybe a good last name. Honor that by the way you live, but your first name, you're not given a good name. You're given a name, and it's up to you to make that name good. And hopefully you will do just that, because there's value in a good name. That's what Solomon tells us here. So character will stick to you like a sandbar. So you think about that for just a moment. That's how character will stick to you. So your name, whether it's good or bad, it's gonna stick to you. And you're gonna wear that name the rest of your life. So what comes to mind when you hear these names, for example? Hitler. Then we'll go over here on the other end of the spectrum. How about Gandhi? Or how about Timothy McVeigh on this side and Tim Tebow on this side? Notice the difference in the names. Osama bin Laden over here. Mother Teresa over here. I mean, just look at the difference in the names. The names make all the difference in the world. And so as we think about having a good name today. Number one, a good name is to be sought more than great wealth. So you should pursue a great name over the pursuit of great wealth. The choices we make, the things we do, they all determine the kind of people that we become and the name that we have. So what kind of baggage is attached to your name? What has stuck to your name? What adjectives are stuck to your name? You see, we need to live the kind of life that ensures that we have a good name. Live in such a way that when people hear your name, they automatically associate it with honesty, with integrity, with love, with goodness, with faithfulness. Those are the types of adjectives that should be attached to your name. A good name is better than great riches. It really is. Your name matters. Secondly, a good name speaks for you. A good name speaks for you. In 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, and then 3 through 6, we have a little bit about Solomon. The Queen of Sheba hears about Solomon, hears about his name. She's coming to see if everything she's heard is in fact true. 2 Chronicles 9:1. Now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, And she came to Jerusalem to test Solomon with hard questions, and having very great retinue of camels that bore spices, gold in abundance, precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in his heart. So Solomon answered all her questions, and there was nothing so difficult for Solomon that he could not explain it to her. Beginning at verse 3, going down to verse 6, and when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon in the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters, and their apparel, his cupbearers, their apparel, and his entryway. By the way, they went up to the house of the Lord, and there was no more spirit in her. And when she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in all the land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe their words until I came and I saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the half of the greatness of your wisdom has not been told. And you exceed the fame of which I heard." So Solomon had a name, and it was a name of fame, and it was a great name. And the Queen of Sheba found out that everything that she had heard about Solomon was true. His name is speaking for him. It's speaking ahead of him. And so let me ask you, what is the word out there on the street about you? As your name comes up, what is the word? What do people think when your name comes up? What adjectives comes to mind when your name pops up? You see, your name will precede you. And your name will be either good or bad, and it will speak well of you or it will speak ill of you, but it will speak for you. Your life does speak. That's why it's important that we live great lives and have a great name, because our name does speak for us. Just as an example, you know, you can throw names out. And when you throw those names out, names matter to certain people. Now, I could maybe throw some names out, and it wouldn't mean a whole lot. And then I could throw other names out, and it means something. You know, for example, and I don't mean to embarrass anybody or bring anybody's name up, but Roger and Beth Gaddy, you know, you're not going to find a finer name than Roger and Beth Gaddy. Their name speaks for them. It says so much about the kind of person that they are. And so it's a good name, and it matters to have a name like that, because that's a name of integrity. It's a name of faithfulness. It's a name of love. And that's what we want. And this is what God wants for us, to have a good name. Third, a good name inspires others. A good name inspires others. If you follow Jesus, you should be inspiring. You should be an inspiring example. And so we watch some of our brothers and sisters from time to time go through trials, go through difficulties, go through really hard times, and yet they remain faithful. They still love God as much as they ever loved Him, and they still are serving Him today. And they have become for us just inspirational examples, because this is what it means to follow Jesus. This is what it means to be faithful when it comes to following Jesus. Many of you are an inspiration, and you don't realize that you are an inspiration. Your name is an inspiration. Your name inspires people. So let me ask you this. See if you can answer any of these questions. Who won Miss America in 2002? Who won the Super Bowl in the year 2000? Unless it was your team, you probably don't know. Who won an Oscar in 2006? Who was that Bible school teacher that taught you the Word of God? Who was that faithful elder that baptized you into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins? Who was that sister that sat up with you all night long when you were at a very dark place in your life, and that sister was there at your side the whole night long? You see, you don't forget about those names. You don't forget about those people. We won't remember who the winner of Miss America was, or who won the Super Bowl, or who won an Oscar. None of that matters, and we won't remember any of that, but we will remember brothers and sisters in Christ who are faithful, inspiring examples of what it means to serve Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that we have a whole room full of people today who love Jesus and who want to serve Jesus. Your name matters. Sometimes we give ourselves a name we shouldn't. Over in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, I just want to turn your attention there for just a moment. This is the church at Sardis. Church at Sardis. Sad situation. Listen, Jesus writes this church. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, and I know that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, which are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God." The church at Sardis had a reputation. The reputation was, we're alive. We're going and doing, and we're busy, and we're serving the Lord, and we're active in the kingdom, and we're doing all of this. And Jesus says, you're dead. You're dead. You're just a morgue with a steeple on the top. That's what Jesus says to the church at Sardis. It's a church that's dead. It had a reputation for being alive, but it wasn't alive. Jesus tells us that this church was a dead church. Maybe your name, your reputation has been ruined. Maybe it's been marred. Maybe it's been scarred. Maybe it's been boogered up a little bit. But here's the thing, you can repair it. You can make your name good again. And that's what Jesus is encouraging the church at Sardis to do. They can make their name good again. They don't have to remain a dead church. They can be a church that's alive. But that's a choice they have to make. They need it to make. Well, maybe you've done some things and it's damaged your reputation to a certain extent. But that doesn't mean that it has completely ruined your name. Your name can be rebuilt and it can become a powerhouse name again. It can become an inspiration. It can be a name that will speak for you. It's a good name. We read in the Bible of people who messed up their name along the way. You know, David. David is known as a guy who had a heart after God. Who else is known for that in the Bible? Who else in the Bible has a heart after God? Now, hopefully we all have that kind of heart. We want to have that kind of heart, but David is a man who had a heart after God. But yet, we see some things that David did, and David committed adultery, and David committed murder. And David tried to cover up his crimes, and so it hurt his name, right? And so it hurt David's name. But today, when you think of kings, and you think of great kings, kings of Israel, who do you think of? You think of David. That's who comes to mind. You don't think of Saul or Jeroboam. No, you think of David. Josiah, Hezekiah, those guys, they had great names, great reputation. And so David, though he mucked up his name a little bit, his name is still a good name in the Bible. What about John Mark? John Mark is a guy who failed Paul. So he just bails on the missionary journey with Paul. He just leaves him. Just high and dry. He just takes off. And Paul was not happy about this at all. And so on the second missionary journey, Barnabas wants to take John Mark. Paul says he ain't going because he don't have what it takes to be a missionary. He's a wimp, basically, is what Paul, I think, thought of John Mark. He was not happy. But when you read later on about John Mark, Paul has nothing but high regards to say about this man and what a servant of God and how useful he is in the kingdom of God. A guy whose name was messed up early on, but worked and rebuilt that name, and now it's a good name. It's a good name. We need to have a good name. It matters, especially when we're spreading the good news. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And so our lives are to shine. Our lives are to shine bright. We're to be a bright light in a dark world. Paul describes it as such over in the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 12, down through 14. It says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless, harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world." And so our lives are to shine bright. Our name should be good. And our lives should shine bright. And if we do that, then we're honoring God. We're honoring Jesus. We want to have a good name and we want to have a good life. If you want to have a good name, you have to have a good life. If your life is not good, then your name's not going to be good. It matters how you live. And this morning, maybe you come saying, "I need to repair my reputation. I've ruined it, but I want to be a servant of Christ. I want to be evangelistic. I want to bring people to faith in Jesus. And I realize that the present name I have may not help me accomplish that. So I want to have a name that will help me accomplish the saving of souls." So this morning, if you need to come and confess sin and rededicate your commitment to Jesus and rededicate your life to rebuilding your name and making your name good once again, we encourage you to do that as we stand together and sing.